This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, we are here to bring the word. We want to thank God once again for each of you as listeners today. We want to also again thank Pastor Dale and his wife, Jean Gentry, for their graciousness in allowing us to minister to you here at BPN Radio. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that I believe is with the times that we are facing and with all of the things that are going on in the world today. I believe we as Christians should have the answers or the knowing that we are forgiven of our sins. So I want to talk to you today about how are you forgiven of your sins, and I want to use that as a topic. How are you forgiven of your sins? Those of you that have your Bibles, if you turn to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, John here is saying, but if we confess, in other words, he's saying that if we confess or if we promise or if we agree, if we acknowledge, if we admit or declare our sins. In other words, if we declare that we have missed the mark, that we are guilty, that we are at fault, that we have failed, or our failing to hit the mark, or an error of the understanding. He says, to him, he is faithful. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is believing and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, all unrighteousness, injustice, or hurt. So some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, are you saying that we don't have to confess our sins? Now, I want you to listen real carefully. You see, we don't have to confess our sins in order to be forgiven. We confess our sins because we are already forgiven. So when I say confess our sins, I'm talking about being open with God. See, I don't go before God begging for forgiveness. No, I talk to him because I know that I have already been forgiven. I know that I can come to him freely because he is my God. He is my daddy God. So forgiveness is not dependent on what I do, but what Jesus has done. So confession in the new covenant is just being honest about your failures and your humanity. And you'll see that it is the result of being forgiven and not something you do in order to be forgiven. Now, let me give you an illustration that will help you. When my children make a mistake, question is, do I forgive them only when they come to me and say, I'm sorry, Daddy? No, of course not. as a loving father, I have already forgiven them. I don't forgive them because of their confession or what they did. But when they say, "I am sorry, Daddy," I can tell them that I love them and I've already forgiven them. Well, in the same way, our loving Heavenly Father does not or doesn't forgive us only after we've confessed our sins. You see, fellowship with Him is not broken because our forgiveness is not contingent. In other words, our forgiveness is not something that can be anticipated to arise if a particular event arises based on what we do. It is something that can be anticipated to arise if a particular event arises based on the finished work of Jesus. In other words, it is contingent on the finished work of Jesus. So we don't confess our sins to be forgiven. We confess or we speak openly to our gracious Father because we have already been forgiven. Now, my friends, understanding this difference determines whether you experience heaven on earth or hell on earth. Now, let me explain what I mean. When I was growing up as a young believer, I was taught that unless I confess all my sins, I wouldn't be forgiven. And I was even told that if someone died without having confessed all their sins, they wouldn't end up in hell. They would end up in hell. Such teachings made the forgiveness of sins man's responsibility. You see, instead of something that was dependent on what Jesus' blood had already accomplished, so such teachings are based on man's traditions and not the scriptures. Such teachings put us in severe bondage when we are young believers. So again, I didn't understand why it didn't seem to bother other Christians, so it really bothered me as a young believer because I was really sincere and I wanted to always be right with God and not have any sin that was not forgiven. And for one, I didn't want the fellowship with God to be broken. So everywhere I would go, I would confess my sins. And I mean everywhere. I would be playing ball with my friends and I'd yell at them, "Hey, what you think you're doing? Watch out, heads up. Come on, man. Hey, what are you doing?" And sometimes in the midst of the game, I'd get angry with and feel like scolding other players. Well, I'd also catch myself and think, "I'm a believer. How can I think such thoughts?" So right there and then I would close my eyes and start confessing my sins, whispering my confessions under my breath. The next thing I knew, the ball would streak right past me. And I was left wondering, "God, what happened? Here I'm getting right with you and you allow the opposing team to score." Well, this keeping short accounts with God continued even when I was drafted into the military. And one day I overheard my bunk mates talking about me among themselves, things like, "He's really strange," one said. Another would reply, "Yeah, why does he do that?" I will hear them say, "Have you seen him whisper under his breath as he's running or doing something?" So at that point, I realized that I wasn't being a very good testimony for Jesus. All my military friends must have thought that a Christian, to put it mildly, were a strange bunch of folks. But I was in serious bondage. I really believed that I had to confess every bad thing that I thought and I had done all the time. Well, since all this happened during the time when I believed that it was possible for Christians to commit the unpardonable sin, I confessed as much as I could just to be safe. I took 1 John 1:9 to the limits, and it nearly drove me insane. But what does 1 John 1:9 really say, and to whom was it actually written to? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." People have taken this verse and built the whole doctrine around it when actually chapter 1 of 1 John was written to the Gnostics, who were unbelievers. John was saying to these unbelievers that if they confessed their sins, God would be faithful and just to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. See, we are not to live from confession to confession, but from faith to faith in Jesus Christ and in his finished work. For us believers, the moment we receive Jesus, all of our sins were forgiven. We are not to live from confession to confession, but from faith to faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. So you see, there are two ways about this. If you believe that you have to confess your sins to be forgiven, then make sure that you confess everything. Make sure that you don't just confess the big sins. When I say big, in your own estimation, make sure that you also confess your sins every time you are worried, fearful, or in doubt. You see, the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, according to Romans 14 and 23. So don't just confess what is convenient for you. Make sure that you confess everything. If you really believe that you need to confess all your sins to be forgiven, do you know that? Or do you know what you would be doing? You would be confessing your sins all the time. How then can you have courage before God? How can you enjoy liberty as a child of God? I tried it, and believe me, it's impossible. So let's not build a whole doctrine on one verse. If confession of sins is vital for your forgiveness, then Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, has done each of us a great injustice because he did not mention it even once, not once, in any of his letters to the church. When there were people in the Corinthian church living in sin, he didn't say, "Go and confess your sins." Instead, he reminded them of their righteousness, saying, "Do you know that your bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" According to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. So notice that in spite of their sins, Paul still considered them temples of the Holy Spirit, and he reminded them of this truth. You see, this is the assurance that you can have today. The day you can receive Christ, you confessed all your sins once and for all. You acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and He is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All the unrighteousness of your entire life was to cleanse at that point. Entire doctrines have been built around 1 John 1 and 9, but John actually made it clear in the same chapter that when it comes to believers, people who walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all sins. According to 1 John 1 and 7, where it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now notice that for us, believers who walk in the light, it is not our confession that cleanses us from all sin, but the blood of Jesus. Notice also that this verse says, "Walk in the light and not walk according to the light." Walking in the light means walking in the realm of light, which Christ's death has already translated us into. Christians often misconstrue this to mean walking according to the light, thinking that darkness will decrease and light will increase if we try to stay in the light. But that is not what the verse is talking about. It's talking about us already being translated out of the realm. The Bible is so rich and full of treasures. And the thing of it is that when you know that even the word cleanses in 1 John 1, 7 is really something that's beautiful. You see, in the Greek, the tense for the word cleanse denotes present and continuous actions, which means that from the moment you receive Christ, the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing you. It is as if you are under a waterfall of His forgiveness. Even when you fall, this waterfall never stops. It keeps on keeping on, cleansing you from all your sins and unrighteousness. Now, knowing that you are forgiven of all your sins will give you the power to reign over every destructive habit and live a life of victory. You see, beloved, confessing your sins all the time will only make you more sin conscious. But knowing that you are under Jesus' waterfall of forgiveness will keep you forgiveness consciousness. And knowing that you are forgiven of all your sins will give you the power to reign over every destructive habit and live a life of victory. So in 1 John 2:1, John addresses the believer as "my little children." You see, he never addressed the unbelievers whom he was writing to in chapter 1 as "my little children," and went on to say, "These things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ." Now notice that John didn't tell the believers, "If anyone sins, make sure that he confesses his sins." No, his solution for a believer who sins is to point him to the finished work of Jesus. Jesus is our advocate before God, and it is because of his blood that we have forgiveness of all our sins. So it's time to stop being robbed by traditional teachings and to start enjoying the waterfall of his forgiveness, which perpetually cleanses us. It never stops. It keeps on cleansing us. So you know that negative thought that you had a few minutes ago? Well, that has been cleansed too. So let me tell you a story about a little boy who used to play in the woods just a short distance away from the dilapidated hut that he lived in. His parents were too poor to buy him any toys. So really he had to make do with whatever he could find. So one day by chance, something by accident happened without it intending to happen. He came upon a stone that was unlike any that he had ever seen. The polished surface of the stone glistened in his hands and winked at him each time he turned it around in the sunlight. It was his very own treasure, and he loved it. The boy didn't dare bring it back to his home, as there was nowhere in the hut he could hide it. So he decided to dig a deep hole under some bushes and hide his precious possession there. The next day, the boy couldn't wait to retrieve his stone and ran to its hiding place as soon as the sun rose. But when his fingers finally found the stone in its muddy hideaway, it was all grubby and strained without any of the luster that he loved so much. So the boy took the stone to the stream and carefully dipped it, allowing the dirt to be washed away. And finally, it was clean, and the boy's heart swelled with pride at his yearn to possess something he had found. But all too soon, the time came for the boy to head home, and he had to return the stone to its hiding place. And every day, the boy would rush to the spot where he had hidden the stone. And every day, he would find its shiny surface smeared with mud, and he would travel constantly from place to place to the river some distance away to wash it. Now, this happened for a while before he decided to solve the problem. So that day, when it was almost time for him to head home, the little boy took his stone to a small waterfall and wedged it carefully between two rocks, right in the middle of the steady flow of the waterfall. That night, the stone experienced a continual washing, and that little boy never had to wash the stone again. And every time he retrieved it, it gleamed in his hands, completely cleansed. But what the little boy did with the stone initially can be likened to what happens under the old covenant. Each time you sinned, you had to be cleansed. But before you knew it, you would sin again, and you would have to bring your sin offering, or either a bullock or a lamb, to the priest to be cleansed again. And some believers still think that this is our covenant today. But let me declare to you that Jesus' blood is far greater than the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bought us eternal forgiveness, according to Hebrew 9, verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. You see, the blood of bulls and goats in the old covenant could only offer temporal forgiveness. And that's why the children of Israel had to keep bringing animal sacrifices to the priest over and over again every time they failed. Jesus, however, died on the cross once and for all, according to Hebrews 10, 1 through 14. You see, when you were born again, you became a living stone and God placed you right under the waterfall of his son's blood. Hence, every thought you have that it is amiss, every feeling that is not right, every action that is not correct is washed away. You are always kept clean and forgiven because of the continuous cleansing of Jesus' blood. See, if I can say that all this freedom can be yours, according to 1 John 4 and 16. And it says that, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So you see, when you see and believe the Father's love and grace shining on you, darkness fades away. Depression, eating disorder, suicidal thoughts, fears, and destructive addictions, they fade away. The more you place yourself under his grace, the more sin will have no dominion over you. Temptation will have no power over you when you are saturated with the Father's love, with the Father's approval, with the Father's favor, and with the Father's acceptance. All this freedom can be yours when you truly believe this. You are his beloved child in whom he is well pleased. Here is my prayer for you, my friend. I pray that you will begin to comprehend and believe the width and length and depth and height of your Father's unconditional love for you. Rest in your Father's love for you and not your love for him. And may you experience victory over every fear, every sense of guilt, and every addiction in your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the power of right believing and all that you are doing in my life through receiving your grace and love. I believe that you are opening my eyes to see and believe the width and length and depth and height of your unconditional love for me. I look forward to a lifetime of victories in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you. This is Dale Gentry, President and Founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. 18 hours of continuous preaching being heard across America and around the globe here on your internet prayer station. For a complete listing of all of our preachers each Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And if you would like to minister every Sunday on Preaching Sunday, you can contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's rickgentry@bpnradio@gmail.com. Or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. 214-918-8707. Or if you would like to sponsor one of our young preachers on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com, you can call Rick Gentry with the above information. Stay tuned for another sermon here on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com.